You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 30th of March 2022. Later, the budget winners and losers on the share market, but first to the economic reaction to the budget, because with nearly $9 billion of cost of living sweeteners, can our economy really afford it? Net debt is expected to rise to 33.1% of GDP by 2025. So for more, I spoke earlier with Sherelle Murphy. She is the chief economist at EY. Sherelle, you say the government has missed policies that unlock the economy's potential. How so?
Well, what we'd like to have seen is the government really grasp onto some of those more productive type policies, the types that will really increase the capacity of the economy. So things that might increase the international competitiveness of the Australian economy, things that would encourage innovation and investment in the areas where we clearly need some additional support. So things like health and sustainability projects come front of mind there.
You mentioned international competitiveness, right? Scott Morrison earlier said something along the lines of Australia is doing better than any other advanced economy. Based on the major economic parameters, would you say this to be true?
Look, we certainly have on many of the broad economic, macroeconomic indicators been doing pretty well. In other words, our GDP has returned to 2019 levels quite quickly. Our employment growth has been good. Our unemployment rate has come down quickly. And we've actually had good participation rates as well. So all of those things do compare well. The other thing I think that's been really important here is that Australia has been able to cope with the pandemic better than most. And by that, I mean maintain economic growth while also protecting the economy from COVID itself. So we had a low number of deaths per population. At the same time, we managed to keep GDP up. So it was a really good combination. And that set us up for a really strong economic expansion. And that's what we're going through now.
Even so, I guess net debt is expected to rise slower and peak lower than previously forecast. However, it's still at an all-time high, 33.1% of GDP by the end of the forecast estimates. So how much of a concern is this rising net debt, and are we ever going to pay it back? And what does it say about the economy?
Look, certainly the fact that net debt is rising is of concern, and it's hard to see a path down again unless we get really tight on our fiscal policy. Now, obviously, that's not what's happened in this budget. The government has been willing to spend again, so adding those cash payments in and the fuel excise cut, for example. However, we are seeing an improvement in our net debt numbers because we're basically able to sort of revise down the size of the debt that we had because we're growing more strongly and we need to borrow less. So yes, the net debt numbers are slightly better, but they're still high. As long as we can pay the interest on those and we can grow the economy, then we can cope with that. And over time, we will slowly eke away at it.
And still, there are lots of cash handouts in this budget to address cost of living issues. However, do you think this will just add to the inflation story, and will it force the Reserve Bank to be even more aggressive when it comes to interest rate rises?
Well, as you say, Reserve Bank are, of course, thinking very closely about interest rate rises, and the market's got several rate hikes in. In fact, I think 13, 25 basis point rate hikes priced in. Does this help? No, it certainly doesn't. The Reserve Bank would not be welcoming another cash injection into the economy at this point in time. Is it big enough to cause them major problems? Probably not. It's just not of the right flavour. It's not what we need right now, and I think the Reserve Bank would rather not have to deal with it.
Sherelle Murphy there, the chief economist at EY. And our share market rose today, up 0.7% on the 200, 7,514. That's a three-month high. NAB hit a five-year high today, but it was a tech sector and the consumer discretionary sector doing best. For more, I spoke earlier with Francesco Destradis. He's an investment advisor at Ord Minnett.
Yeah, look, the market got a good lead from the US overnight, but I think a lot of the budget information was well and truly leaked beforehand. So some of that had been absorbed up in some of the previous trading days. So there are some positives. Obviously, the consumer is going to benefit a hell of a lot with the cut in the petrol and fuel excise. And that will transfer into, I suppose, the tills of some of the retailers out there, along with some of the tax benefits for middle to low-income earners. So I think the retailers are going to be the big beneficiaries in the market out of this budget. So Woolworths, Coles, Metcash on the grocery front, JB Hi-Fi and Harvey Norman, and some of the smaller retailers as well. Obviously, a lot of this money at that level will translate into consumerism. Other areas of the budget were quite good as well. I mean, the mandatory spending on infrastructure was about $18 billion, and some of that will go to companies like Adelaide, Brighton and Boral, and some like Lendlease as well. So there's some positives there for the market. Other areas of the market, the tourism sector, which has been really devastated by COVID, I think it's picked up about $200 million worth of injections. So that's going to benefit the likes of Flight Centre and Hello World and Webjet and some of the tourist operators as well, like Experience Co and the old Sea Link, which has recently changed its name and slips my mind. So there's some really good benefits coming through for them. So there's broad areas as well. I think, you know, the first home owners grant's been probably extended and adjusted a bit, so that benefits some of the financing and the banking sector. But all in all, I think for the market perspective, if you're looking at long-term investments, I think the budget's been a good positive for the market.
Do investors, though, get the feeling all this extra stimulus, that some of which you've mentioned, may lead to a more aggressive Reserve Bank?
Yeah, I don't know about aggressive, but I think we're going to find that interest rate rises are going to come a little bit earlier than expected. I think everyone was expecting them at the back end of this year. I think it's probably going to be closer to the middle of the year. We've already seen the Fed Reserve in the US go at 25 basis points this month. So look, if you want to call it aggressive, yes, but I think they'll probably bring it forward a bit more. This spending is obviously inflationary as well. So I think, yes, we'll see interest rates a little bit earlier.
And another key corporate story today, Vicky Brady, the CFO of Telstra, will replace Andy Penn as CEO from September the 1st. How does the market feel about this? And what do you think will be her major challenges?
Yeah, look, it hasn't really impacted upon the market today directly. Look, Andy Penn had some challenges. He was there 7 years and oversaw the transformation of Telstra, I suppose. And I think you'll find that they're still trying to move out of that government's mentality. And I think he's done a good job of that, particularly now that they've divested from a lot of the infrastructure. So now, looking forward, I think, you know, being CFO, she understands the business and has been there for 2.5 years, I think. So she understands what's going on. I think she got new challenges, though, different to Andy Penn. I think the challenges are going to be more on the technological front and how to grow the business on the data and the mobile side of things. So, look, I think it's a good appointment. It hasn't really impacted upon the share price. I think time will tell when we start to see business plans coming out from her office.
Francesco De Stratis there from Ord Minnett.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.